Brett Schultes is a health reporter at WITF. He was wrapping up work on a Friday night when he got a collect call from Bucks County Jail.
It was a person who was incarcerated there whose mother had read a story that I wrote a while back. And the story was about a woman from Bucks County, Kim Stringer, who lives with a serious mental illness.
Brett told us about Kim on the Y last year. Her family was trying to get her help, but she was refusing any kind of psychiatric treatment. And now Kim was in jail.
This other woman who was incarcerated with her called me because she was concerned about how the corrections officers were treating her. And the phone was a little bit garbled. It was a little bit difficult to understand her at first, but I just listened.
They maced her. They drug her out of her room. They put her in a cold shower. They strapped her down to a chair. And she's screaming the whole time, "Why are you torturing me?"
By the end of the weekend, Brett had gotten calls from four different people in the jail. And they all said the same thing. Kim was not in good shape. She was trying to hurt herself, and to get her to stop, the guards were intervening with force. Nationwide, 20% of people in jails have a mental health condition, which means that there are a lot of people like Kim who end up incarcerated instead of in treatment. Why does this happen? And why hasn't a Pennsylvania law meant to fix the problem changed anything? I'm Alex Stern, in for Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. Can you remind us what was going on with Kim when you first wrote about her last summer?
Kim is a woman in her late 20s who lives in Bucks County who has a serious mental illness, and she was refusing any psychiatric treatment, and her mom, Martha, and her dad, Paul, really were desperate to get her treatment because they were really worried that she was going to end up sick or in jail.
We started notifying anyone we could who would listen that we were concerned that she was not taking her medication, that we were noticing her behavior was deteriorating. And we really didn't get a lot of support or response about our concerns.
Kim was at the time living in a shed in her backyard, like an aluminum shed, instead of her house, even though she had a house that she could live in. She was drinking water out of the local streams instead of out of her faucet because she said there was something wrong with her water. And she had a really pervasive fear of technology, talking a lot about things being sort of broadcast into her mind or things of that nature.
Artificial intelligence, the way that the mind works, it's like, how can people not see this?
And her parents were really doing their best to help her, but they couldn't legally force her to undergo treatment she didn't want to undergo. And Kim said that forcing her to take her medication was, you know, discrimination against her.
And how did she end up in Bucks County Jail?
Well, I think to answer that question, it's actually helpful to go back a little bit further. You know, last summer, she was actually involuntarily committed following the story that we did. She was committed to a state mental hospital for care, and for several months her situation really improved. But by April, she had stopped taking her medication. She had an altercation with her neighbor who says that Kim punched her and threatened to kill her.
That's when the police got involved?
Yeah, so the neighbor or someone called the police. And, you know, in the past, Falls Township Police had worked with Kim and her parents kind of with the understanding that she was someone who had a serious mental illness. And this time they charged her and she ended up in Bucks County Jail.
Could she have gotten out on bail for that?
That's a great question. Kim's parents, Martha and Paul, certainly could have afforded to pay for her bail. But they decided not to bail her out because they had this understanding that she was going to be transferred to the psychiatric hospital to get the help she needed. You know, but that never happened. She never got transferred to the hospital, and she never even ended up in an emergency room. She ended up in Bucks County Jail, and, you know, she was there for 72 days.
And it sounds like she wasn't coping well with that.
I would say not. She didn't start out that bad, but as time went on, it seemed she got worse and worse and worse. And meanwhile, you know, her parents were in the dark about it. Bucks County Commissioner Diane Ellis Marseglia told her parents repeatedly that their daughter was safe. And I know this because I've looked at an enormous amount of email correspondence between Marseglia and Kim's parents, and also some other Bucks County employees who would communicate with them.
So how did they find out what was going on with their daughter?
Well, after I got those calls from the inmates, I broke the news to them by giving them a call.
On June 12th, I got a call from you, Brett, and you told me that the inmates in the jail had been very concerned about what they saw was happening to Kim, and that she was unresponsive for the most part, naked, sitting in her own urine and her own feces, and they said they didn't think she was going to maybe last much longer. And I went into panic mode. My first thought was, get her out of there. Whatever it takes, get her out of there.
What happened after you published your story about this?
The story was received with a lot of shock and outrage, which is, you know, interesting, because what I've learned since is that nothing that the prison officials did or the prison guards did was in any way unusual. This is the way they treat people who have a serious mental illness who are in county jail. But 5 days after that story published, Kim was moved to Norristown State Mental Facility.
When we come back...
The reality is what happens is a person is much more likely to come out of jail sicker than when they went in.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Alex Stern. I'm talking to WITF reporter Brett Schultes about why people with mental illness often end up behind bars instead of getting treatment. Why didn't the police bring Kim to Norristown State Hospital in the first place? I mean, they were aware of her history with mental illness.
So I spoke to Bucks County District Attorney Matt Weintraub about this, and he said it was a matter of there not being enough resources.
I would say that the major impediment was no bed, and that's almost always the issue.
But the problem also has to do with the way the system is set up in Pennsylvania. A person with a mental illness who doesn't want treatment can't really be forced to get treatment unless they're deemed to be a threat to themselves or others. And this is something that's designed to protect people from being committed or institutionalized unfairly. But one effect of it is that it also often means that a person with mental illness is only getting treatment after or during a time when they've been arrested for some crime and possibly put in jail.
And what happens to them once they're in jail? Are they able to get the help that they need?
County jails and state and federal prisons do have some staff who provide psychiatric resources. But if you talk to corrections officials, they're often very much understaffed and unequipped to help. And the result is that people who are suicidal or who are struggling often are met with force from the corrections officers. Some reports I looked at Bucks County Correctional Facility showed that prison guards used force 44 times from mid-April through mid-June. And force could be anything from handcuffs to pepper spray to a restraint chair, leg shackles, or anything like that. And in at least 16 of those uses of force, the inmate was either suicidal, hurting himself or herself, or was someone who has a diagnosed mental illness. When I asked District Attorney Weintraub about this, he was quick to say that the county jail is not the right place for someone with a serious mental illness. But he did look into Kim's case to rule out any potentially criminal behavior, and he said the guards were following the rules.
The jail has certain protocols that they have to follow, and they're designed to be effective. I would not say that they're designed to be pleasant.
Are there any systems in Pennsylvania in place for someone like Kim or someone else who is maybe having a mental health crisis to be connected to treatment instead of being taken to jail?
Well, the irony is that Pennsylvania passed a law in 2018 to provide one such option, but no counties have used it since then. In 2018, the state legislature passed a law that would allow for something called assisted outpatient treatment. It was signed by the governor and everything. So assisted outpatient treatment would allow a team to work with a judge and the person who is averse to treatment, and it would change the standard for involuntary commitment. So for that, instead of proving that a person has to be a danger to themselves or others, you only have to show that they're in urgent need of care and that they're unequipped or unable to take care of themselves and that this is having a detrimental effect on them. That can't lead them to any type of jail time or commitment in an institution. But what it can do is get that person help in a way that's completely divorced from the criminal justice system and completely removed from police.
I mean, that sounds a lot like what Kim's family was trying to arrange for her in the first place. Why wasn't she able to take advantage of this law?
Well, the law isn't being used by any counties in Pennsylvania. So the law exists and is on the books, but the mental health programs are actually administered by the counties, and none of the counties have made any effort to use this program. And it's possible that some counties are seeking more funding before they implement any more programs. And look, I get that because funding has been completely flat in Pennsylvania for a long time and has actually been, 8 years ago, was decreased by $84 million a year. So I think the counties are stretched pretty thin when it comes to funding. And it really frustrates people like John Snook, who I talked to in my story, who advocates for these outpatient treatment programs. He directs the Treatment Advocacy Center in Virginia.
If you started with what just doesn't work, what's the worst way we could do this to provide someone care? It would be a jail.
However they do it, Snook told me states need to move away from a system where a person with a mental illness doesn't get help until they've presented a danger to themselves or others. That's really a key point.
What we know is that when someone with a mental illness goes into a jail, they're very much less likely to get the treatment they need. We did a survey a few years ago with sheriffs all over the country, and sheriffs said this plainly. They said, we don't have enough training. We don't have enough resources for people with mental illness. And the reality is what happens is a person is much more likely to come out of jail sicker than when they went in.
You said that after your story published, Kim was placed in Norristown Hospital. How is she doing now?
Kim's doing somewhat better. She's still in Norristown. Her commitment there has been extended, and her mom says she's getting the treatment she needs.
We're glad now we know she's safe and at the hospital, and she is getting the medication that she needs, which is helping to stabilize her.
Kim, her mom says she has a really good sense of humor, and she can kind of laugh at a joke or be creative, paint. She can lobby for herself.
Over time and on a sustained course of medication, her brain will begin to heal.
And she's improving, but you know, the thing is, instead of improving from where she was when she was arrested, she's trying to get back to the baseline because she was so much worse, you know, when she came out of jail.
Well, Brett, thank you so much for coming in to talk to us about this.
Yeah, thanks so much for talking with me, Alex. It was a real pleasure.
Brett Schultes is a health reporter for WITF. The Y is produced by me, Alex Stern, along with Annette John Hall, Kelsey Hansen, Sabrina Boyd Circa, and Buffy Gorilla. We get editorial direction from Katie Culinary, and we had editing help on this episode from Eugene Son. You can find me on Twitter at Alex Ray Stern. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.